First of all, from Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. Okay, so a short reading from the Bible, the one that we often read at this time of year. It says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." So this is our first Sunday in December. And we always do a service where we're talking to the children as well as the adults on that first service. So now we're counting the days down to Christmas. And Gary's already kind of ruined my opening question, which was, how many days are there to go to Christmas? Anybody know?
19.
Yeah? Yeah? Go on, Esther.
24.
24 to Christmas, but today is number 5, isn't it? So it can't be 24. Oh, it's not 4 weeks. No, no, no. We've got 19 days to go. So actually, yes, your birthday is the day before Jesus' birthday, we know. There's lots of birthdays in December, because Alan's birthday is in December as well later on. So he, yeah. So we're counting down. Who's got an advent calendar? Yeah?
Me.
Yeah? And are you opening the doors each day, or are you putting stickers on to count? Yeah? So we're counting down to Christmas, and one way that we celebrate Christmas is we sing carols. Now, singing is something that's really important to do. Singing's good for us physically. It improves our lung function. Yeah? It helps us to cope better with stress and anxiety. And people have even researched the fact that singing improves your immune system. So if you want to fight off the winter bugs, let's sing, yeah? Singing is good for us. And Christmas carols are songs that are specifically about Christmas. And specifically about the Christmas story and about the birth of Jesus. Now, there are a lot of other songs at Christmas that we sing about Christmas, you know, about the snow, about reindeer, about all kinds of things. But a Christmas carol focuses on Jesus. And one of my favourite carols is Joy to the World. And I've even got it on my T-shirt. Yeah? My T-shirt today says, Jesus, Joy to the World. Okay? So we're going to listen now. We're going to watch a carol, Joy to the World, sung by a group of singers who sing without any music. So they do all their singing with just their voices. So James, can you put the song on? Do I need to keep the recording on or off at this point? Off.
On.
Joy to the world.
Oh,
joy to the world.
truth and grace, and makes the nations prove.
Can I have the lights back a bit? Yeah, so that's the carol that we often sing at Christmas, Joy to the World. But you know, when you're learning carols for the first time, when you're children, a lot of them don't really seem to make much sense, do they? So I thought what we'd do is we'd look through this carol and see what it's really talking about. And the first thing it's talking about is joy, isn't it? Joy to the world. And joy is happiness, or delight, or exuberance, or excitement. And I know that you children are getting very excited about Christmas. Yeah? Joy to all the world, because the Lord is come. You know, Christmas is a happy time, because we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. Everybody gets excited when a baby is born. But when Jesus was born, that was an extra special time, because Earth was receiving her king. Now, when a king or queen visits a place, and we've got two princesses here dressed up, you know, as princesses, when a king or queen visits, yeah, there's lots of preparation, there's lots of ceremony. Everyone wears their best clothes, everyone's on their best behaviour. And you would have thought that that would have happened when Jesus was born. But actually, as the reading that we read from Luke's Gospel says, no one was really expecting God to be born. Stand back. It's okay. Don't pull her. Yeah. Nobody was expecting God to be born as a human baby. So when Mary and Joseph arrived, don't pull her, sweetheart. When they arrived in Bethlehem, there was no room for them at the inn, was there? There was no guest room, it says, available. So Jesus ended up being born where? Where was Jesus born, Esther? Where was he born? Was he in a guest room? In a stable, that's right. He was born in a stable, a place where the animals lived. And that's not the kind of place you'd expect a king to be born. But the carol says that every heart should prepare him room. You know, Jesus doesn't live on earth anymore, but he wants to live in our hearts by faith. We can either invite him in, or we can be too busy for him. And if we think that Christmas is all about presents and it's all about Father Christmas or elves or snow or parties, then it's like saying that we've got no room in our hearts for Jesus. And all of us need to prepare him room by thinking about who Christmas is really about. It's all about Jesus. And we need to make him number one at this time. And verse one, that first verse, ends with heaven and nature singing about Jesus. Yeah, it's big news. And then verse 2 talks about us singing because the Saviour reigns. What's a Saviour then? Somebody who saves you. That's right, somebody who rescues you. Somebody who gets you out of trouble. And the very name of Jesus tells us that that's why he came to earth. Because Jesus means he will save his people from their sins. Jesus actually means the Lord saves. So every time we talk about Jesus, we're talking about the one who came to save us from our sins. Sins, the things we do wrong, that blackness in us that makes us go our own way instead of God's way. And ultimately, sin leads to death and separation from God. So it's really important that we let Jesus rescue us from sin and be our boss, be our master, be our Lord. And verse 3 says that Jesus rules the world with truth and grace. Truth is what is real. It's defined by God. We need truth, but we also need grace. You know, grace isn't just a girl's name. Grace is God's free gift to us. It's amazing how he loves us and helps us, even though we don't deserve it. And the carol also sings about the glories of his righteousness. Now, righteousness is a really big word, isn't it? But it just means God does what's right. He never makes a mistake. We make lots of mistakes. We don't always know what's right or wrong. But what's so amazing about God is not just that he's gracious and kind, but that he always does the right thing. And the carol ended by singing about the wonders of his love. And it said that more than once. The wonders of his love, the wonders of his love. And songs do that a lot, don't they? They repeat themselves. They have the same words. And you might think, what's that all about? You know, why do we keep on singing the same words? Well, I think it's because God's love is so wonderful that we have to sing about it a lot, more than once. Because God really does love us. And sometimes we don't feel very lovable. Sometimes we feel really bad. But the carol reminds us that God's love is more powerful than anything else in the world. All the nations will one day sing of God's love and righteousness. But we can choose to do that now. Yeah? So we're counting down to Christmas. We're getting really excited about this time of year. But let's keep this song in our hearts too. And remember to make room for Jesus because he came to be our saviour. We can celebrate because he rules the earth with truth and grace. He always does what's right. He loves us so much that he came to die for us. And the Christmas story really is something for us to sing about. And for you adults out there, okay, not that it isn't important for the children as well, one of the things that I want to really, really talk about is we've got to sing truth, yeah? Don't just go for sentimental mush when you're singing, yeah? A lot of carols, a lot of Christmas songs focus on this idealised view of Christmas, yeah? The perfect family time, a place where everything's lovely. You know, think about it. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, yeah? Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Jingle bells, you know, dashing through the snow, all of this. Even some carols are romanticised. I'm sorry, I cannot sing Away in a Manger because of the line, the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. What a load of rubbish that is. He was a baby, of course he cried. You know, we have to understand the difference between truth and this kind of sentimental stuff that we like to talk about. You know, and when we're singing mush, then, you know, actually we're putting a lot of pressure on ourselves, adults, to have this perfect Christmas that doesn't actually exist anywhere and certainly didn't exist that first Christmas. So set yourself free by singing truth rather than just sentimental stuff. Because the Bible says we've got to be careful what we sing. Ephesians 5 says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the second thing that really, you know, I just want to emphasise and underline is let every heart prepare him room. You know, that line, for the last few years, it just keeps coming back to me every time we sing this carol. Because, you know, there was no room for Jesus in Bethlehem. And so often there's no room for him in our lives either. You know, every woman, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to be sexist, but it usually is the women, know that there's a lot of preparation that goes into having a good Christmas. Yeah?
Yeah? I'm
yeah? Buying presents in advance. You know, thinking about the person that you're buying the present for, wrapping the presents up, delivering them, buying and writing and sending Christmas cards. Yeah? It's a big job if you do that. You buy the food, you cook it, you get your house ready for people to visit and stay. My aunties came to lunch yesterday. I'm glad they did, not only because I like to see them, but it's the incentive I needed to tidy my house. Before they came, I don't think you could have sat down on any chair in my house because there was just stuff everywhere. I had to prepare for them coming so that they could, you know, sit down somewhere so that they could eat off the table, which had a 3D printer on it, and it had all kinds of stars that we were giving out and everything else. You've got to prepare. And preparation is the key to a less stressed Christmas. But what's important, I think, to understand that if Christmas really is all about Jesus, then we have to take time to prepare our hearts for him too. And that's why this season of Advent is so important. We have to take time out of our busyness, out of our preoccupations with everything else, to think about Jesus. The Christmas story reminds us that people were too busy for his first coming, yeah? No one was ready to receive him. The angels had to burst forth in power and song to bring everyone to worship him because nobody knew what was going on. You know, God even had to organize a special star to bring worshippers from afar. So our job is to prepare room for Jesus in our Christmas. And if we do that, then we will have a truly Merry Christmas, a blessed Christmas. Amen. Okay, Gary, I think...